Three of Hearts is a podcast of queer joy and silly laughs coupled with sad people and grave danger. Content warnings can be found in the episode description. Previously on Three of Hearts. Agents Vellum and Felspar escape from Nat Cobblestone of the Bramble Guard, thanks to some quick thinking and impressive engineering on Vellum's part. As the party grew weary, they decided to stop in Vellum's hometown, Hueliang, to gather their strength and hide out from any more assailants. Before entering the village, Merafina took Vellum on a walk to give her first lecture as magical mentor. She revealed that the magic in the world is running out, even for magical artifacts, and that soon, Vellum and his TM radio might be the only source of magic in all of Bicycle. I want to play a quick scene, actually, while Vellum is talking to Merafina. There was a scene I wanted to do last time, but we didn't really have time because SA had to go wizard a con. I just remember that Alec referred to it as wizard con because he didn't know why it was called WizCon and assumed that it was short for that.
Wizard con is also a thing that happens also in Madison, so, you know, yeah. Like, shrug emoji.
It's understandable. Okay. While Vellum's in the woods, everyone else just sort of chilling against a cliff or against a stone wall near some lion statues. And Josepha says, Merum.
Josepha?
Should I be calling you Spar?
Spar doesn't pause as long as SA is pausing. I'm trying to think about whether Spar would tell her to do what's most comfortable or tell her that it's what his friends call him. I'm trying to think about how Spar feels about Josepha. I think he'll put it to her that way and sort of like leave it in her hands and say, it's what my friends and my colleagues call me. So either way is fine, really.
She kind of crosses her arms and says, what do you like to be called?
The ghost of SA's mom, who's not dead, just astrally projecting, says, not late for dinner. Spar tells her, I prefer Spar. He shrugs.
She says, well, thank you. I will call you Spar. That's what Anya called you. And I knew that Sorrel called you that. Anya called you that this morning, I should say. Not always. And yeah, Josepha is not my birth name. And I would not want to be called my birth name. So if you don't want to be called yours, I think that's your right.
It's... it's not as weird to be called it by people who know my family, and people in Clovenheart knew me as Merum, or he winces, Mary.
She's like, I would never do that to you, don't worry.
I appreciate that. This trip would be very difficult if I could no longer speak to you, so... but yeah, it's less weird to get Merumed in Clovenheart. But thank you.
Wait, of course. So I wanted to say is that it's nice to see that you and Anya seem to be amicable.
Yeah. SA would think better of saying this, but Spar won't. You know, saving somebody's brother does that to a person.
So I was like, I do not think that's what did it, but
probably didn't hurt.
Well, I know it's not my charming face because that really hasn't changed.
Yeah, and she wouldn't. That's that.
It's
yeah,
a whole kind of a, kind of lost she, on her tragedy, really, for her.
For sure, but anyway, I just want to say that that's good and surprising, frankly. When I first saw you in Clovenheart and you were like had recently been mauled by a crocodile, my first thought was, "Oh no, Anya got to him." So like, things have been going a lot better than my estimation.
Wow.
He nods very seriously, like, yes, this was an appropriate line of thought. Like, And, like, he's not... He's kidding on the square, more square than kidding, right? Like, Spar, especially when he first got to Clovenheart, I think would have stood still and let Anya beat him up. And, like, you know, probably Anya wouldn't have, like, torn off his shirt, like, broken his nose or anything. So, like, that's where the kidding part is. But, like, if Anya had wanted to do violence, like, he would have withstood it.
That's terrible. Josepha says, I also wanted to say that I spent a lot of time with Anya over the last couple of years. And more often than not, she had gotten to a place that did not think you were some kind of monster and stopped being consumed by hating you. And I think that, you know, when weird magic in Clovenheart happened and everyone started to say, oh no, not oh no, but like, is Spar going to show up and do suit stuff?
I know at least two people in Clovenheart gonna round up to a solid three said, oh no.
She nods and says, and I think that her defenses went up in a big way. But I think she had softened on you before that. And I think that she's made progress. And yeah, I don't know. I just wanted to say, like, I guess I don't know how mean she was to you, but I imagine she wasn't nice. And I don't know what I'm saying. Just that I don't think she knew what to expect when you returned, I guess.
That's fair. I didn't know what to expect either. Or I would have packed many, many more shirts.
Yep.
I think around that time, Velum and Merafina will emerge from the woods and we end up where we were before.
When did Josepha move to Clovenheart? Obviously, putting things in Spar years is the most economical way to judge of time.
Course. But. Spar was 7 when his parents left, died. And so that's when Josepha would have gotten free from Orpholomew. And I would say within like 2 years of that, so when Spar was like 9 or 10. So most of his life.
Yeah, so he grew up with her.
Yeah.
In a sense. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yeah, that's all. Do you have any more questions?
Is it weird for Josepha that she knew baby Anya?
Yeah, for sure. Sure, I don't think about that.
Cool.
She like super knew her. But age is definitely weird with fantasy races. I think about this a lot.
Is there something you want to tell us, Jordan?
No, I mean, I think about it whenever I'm writing or creating fantasy worlds and like relationships within them. I'm like, it's really complicated.
Mm-mm. I do have one more question.
Uh-huh.
Would Spar have heard possibly through the curt-shaped grapevine that Josepha and Anya were dating?
Anya told you that.
Mm, sure.
In the tower after the sword situation.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you heard it through the Anya-shaped grapevine, which is, it's a similarly shaped grapevine to the shirt, to the curt-shaped grapevine.
I think it's just the grape at that point.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You heard it from the grape. Yeah. It is a fascinating relationship that I have thought about a lot. Obviously, I wrote a novella about it. Anyway.
Subscribe to our Patreon to read it.
Yeah. I give a thumbs up that nobody can see, except for Essa and Ela. Okay. Yeah, Velum and Merafina emerge. Do Do we head into Yue Liang? Do we chat? What's going on?
Spar, as usual, is following Vellum's lead here.
I think Vellum takes a deep breath, you know, kind of steals himself after that conversation with Merafina. And looks to Spar and everyone else, but mainly to Spar. And says, are you ready?
Depends. What should I be ready for?
Perhaps reactions not too dissimilar to your arrival in Clovenheart?
Crocodile. Got it.
We do not have any swamps around town, but you know the Kumanichi are known to be in the woods from time to time, so.
That's not the crocodile. That's a bear.
Correct.
That's true. It's a totally different kind of preparation.
Uh-huh. Yep. Yep. I think Vellum will go over to the guardian statues, the little Pisho, and give them little pets and start to head into town.
Okay. I think as you do, I want to cut away to something I wanted to end last episode on. If this were a Powered by the Apocalypse game, I'd be using the move reveal future danger or tease future danger. So we're a couple miles outside Yue Liang, and a very frustrated Nat Cobblestone is leaning against a tree, no longer a bear. She pulls out a walkie-talkie, and she says, I think we're going to need the freelancers on this one, Governor. And then Nat, kind of grumbles and is like, of course they are. Okay. Yes. No, they didn't mean anything. All right, I'm going to Stoneloft now. Yes. Okay. And then hangs up the walkie-talkie, gets very irritated, and punches a tree.
Poor tree.
We could only hear her part of the conversation?
Correct.
Okay.
And then we cut back to Yue Liang. Yeah, so the town is, like I said, built along the walls of this kind of, I don't know what you would call this part of the mountain. It's a very narrow pass through the mountain. And if you look from above, you don't see the town because of the way it's sloped. And also there's a, within the town, there's a part where there's no floor. It's divides into two paths along a big drop. There's rails to prevent you from falling into that area, as well as bridges that connect the two sides of town. There's also tunnels built into the walls, so there are presumably buildings that are deeper inside the mountain.
I'd like to offer that potentially this is a gorge, which is a narrow slice.
Yes, thank you. I could not think of the word gorge. It's is it a crevasse? No, I don't think so.
I was thinking ravine, but doesn't that usually have a river running through it?
I don't know if that's a requirement of ravines.
I think gorge is completely correct.
I think so, too.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. A ravine is a deep, narrow gorge.
Oh, wow. Uh-huh. Well, it might be a ravine, then. Mm-hmm. Welcome to Gorge Ravineville.
Larger than a gully and smaller than a canyon, usually worn by running water.
Haha.
Fascinating.
There was something with water.
So we are all correct on this day. All three of the hearts.
Excellent. It happened. It finally happened.
Welcome to my favorite Mean Girls character, Ravina Gorge.
I mean, keep secrets.
All right. Vellum, would you be going to what's the game plan here?
I think the first part of the game plan is to procure lodging so we can rest for the night.
So do you think, like, is Vellum's old home, like, intact? Like, does he have a place here?
Vellum might have a, like, either a very small little apartment or perhaps a room that's just kind of when he's in town, he stays there. Mm-hmm. But I don't imagine it's big enough for all of these people.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think
fair.
If we're planning to go to the hot springs, typically those are also inns.
That makes sense. That makes sense.
We could head that way.
Okay.
There's only one bed, but not when there's Merafina involved.
Not when there's Merafina and Josepha and Ishbala and Sorrel. Mm. It's a lot of people in one bed. It works, you know, if you want to all cuddle in there, but...
It's a very big bed.
Yeah. What time of day is it?
Oh, it's nighttime.
Okay.
Yeah. And it's like late into the night, like probably like 11 or 12. Mm-hmm. And you all... So the hot spring is built into... There's like a tunnel that leads into like a man-made, like carved out part of the mountain. Mm-hmm. And it's like very tall in here. And I would say this is basically kind of like town square-ish. It's where like the majority of the like important buildings in the town are, which would include the library and maybe like a dining hall, like for everybody.
Okay.
Yeah. Stuff like that. And the inn / spa.
Mm. Just so I've got this right, is this like inside the mountain or?
Yes.
Okay, so this is all
cavernous?
Like, yes, I was going to say Mines of Moria was what I was looking for.
Yeah, it's Mines of Moria-ish for sure. Okay. And running the inn is the Balrog. No.
It's okay. We didn't want to pass. This is all good. This is
all right. actually, so I think if you enter the inn, like it's like pretty dead right now. Mm-hmm. It's lit by candlelight. There is a reception desk, but nobody's there currently.
Right.
And there's a little bell. There's someone you don't recognize, Vellum, who is in, you can like kind of see into the next room, which is like a common area. Mm-hmm. And there's someone like reading a book at a desk there, or like a table there, and there's stairs leading up to where the rooms are. And that's the sitch. It's very like made of like really nice wood is kind of the vibes.
Would Vellum know who usually runs the hot springs?
Yeah. It's a woman named, oh yeah, I have to say names and not butcher them. It's a woman named Mei Hui, and okay. She was actually a friend of your parents. Hmm.
Okay. I think Vellum will go up and ring the bell and see if anyone comes to answer the bell.
All right. A cat jumps up on the table from behind the desk.
Not Destiny.
Not Destiny. A different okay. cat. I think that... Well, I think that Ela essentially controls Destiny as a character. How does Destiny react to the presence of this other cat? It's like a white and like a brown and black, like kind of spotted cat.
Okay.
Does it have wings?
Every cat in this world has wings.
So what are its wings like?
The wings are like... Like reptilian. They're like dragon wings.
Dang.
Is this a cat that Vellum recognizes?
Ooh. Yeah, I think so. What should the cat's name be? I didn't get this far. Hold on, let me think.
You could do like Xiao Mao for Little Cat as just like a little nickname.
Okay, works for me.
Right, Mal is cat, right?
I don't know that part. I know the show, but I don't know how to say cat. I was thinking of whether or not you wanted to do something like Little Apple.
And that's adorable. And,
like, pick a fruit or an object and name the kitty cat after that.
I love that.
I like that, yeah.
Specifically, I like Apple.
Little Apple is Wei Wuxian's stubborn donkey.
Amazing.
So.
Oh, yeah. What is Apple? Pingguol?
So Xiao Pingguol? That be the cat's name?
Yeah.
All right. That's the cat's name.
I think Vellum will hold Destiny in one hand and hold out his other hand for Sniffs.
Cat Sniffs? Xiao Pingguol rubs his head against Vellum's hand.
And will slowly kind of let Destiny sniff his hand that Pingguol sniffed.
Aww.
So that they could kind of smell each other without, like, getting too close all of a sudden. And just kind of see how that goes.
I'm going to flip for Cat. I'm going to flip 5 cards and see how well they get along. Two successes. I think that's enough for the cats to... Maybe they're not like, you know, they're not like friends, but they don't mind each other.
But they'll sniff each other's cheeks and just kind of be like, okay.
Yep.
Cool. Has anyone come to answer the bell?
Yeah, so as the cats are getting acquainted, you hear a voice from upstairs saying, "Oh, I see he remembers you." And down the stairs walks a human woman with, like, sort of, like, powder blue hair, very pointy features. This is Mei Hui.
Velum will say, "Mei Hui, it's been a while. How are you?"
"Good. It's good to see you. Wow, you've brought quite an entourage."
Yes. We are on our way to Stoneloft, so we won't be staying long, but I wanted to stop in.
It's typically polite to call ahead when you're going to bring a bunch of friends over.
This is true. It was a little bit of a last-minute change of plans.
I'm mostly teasing. This is an inn for people to stay at. It's not my house. I have a house. That sounded defensive, but it's true. She says, would you all like to stay the night?
That would be wonderful.
And you can see she's like looking through a logbook, and it says, "Would that include you, Callan, or will you be staying at your own lodgings?"
I'll stay here just so we get everyone together.
She says, "How many rooms do we think?"
Vellum turns to look at everyone and does some mental calculations.
Merafina says, "I will lodge alone."
Okay. 2, 3. He looks to Ishbala and Sorrel and Josepha, not sure if they would all want to share or if they want more than one.
Sorrel asks, "Do you have any pixie-sized rooms?" And Mei Hui says, "Yes, of course. We can accommodate your size." "So will that be 4 total rooms?" She kind of looks at everybody.
1 for Merafina, pixie size for Sorrel, 1 for Josepha and Ishbala, and 1 for Vellum and Spar?
Yep.
And Vellum will, like, say that out loud, like, to confirm with everyone that that's okay.
Ishbala says, "Oh, and here I thought we were having a slumber party."
"I mean, we could do that too."
Josepha says, "Oh, we all know that that's not what you want."
And doesn't say that she's right, but he doesn't say that she's wrong either.
So with that, Mei Hui, like, looks directly at Spar and says, "So who are you who will be lodging with Cowlin?"
Vellum face palms.
Is she close enough to shake hands?
Yeah.
So he puts his hand out for her to shake and says, my name is Miriam Felswar. I work with Cowlin.
Oh, a fellow agent. Mm-hmm. Oh, welcome to Yue Liang.
Does she take his hand or does she leave him hanging?
Oh, yeah. She shakes him. Okay. Says, I am Mui Hui. This is my establishment. That includes the hot springs. I mean, mine in that I care for it. I don't really feel a protective ownership. But I do have a...
Protective ownership of Vellum.
That's what he was going to say. I do have a slight protective ownership of Cowlin. I was good friends with his parents. Known him since he was, well, born, actually. I met him the day after.
Do you happen to have any pictures?
Oh, of course.
Spar.
Spar grins.
I can bring some by in the morning.
Thank you.
Ishbala is also an agent. Vellum is trying to change the subject very awkwardly.
And Ishbala says, an agent who would love to see those baby pictures.
Godex, bless it. This is our friend, Josepha, Spar's sister Sorrel, and my teacher, Merafina.
As you go to gesture to Merafina, you see that she's already upstairs and she has knocked on a door and there's no response. She says, I'll take this room.
Okay. Is that okay, Meihui?
Meihui looks amused more than anything and nods and says, absolutely.
Thank you.
The guest always comes first. And Merafina just enters the room. Does not say goodnight to anybody.
Nope, that's okay.
Meihui, is that a family name first or family name last?
That is just a given name.
Yep.
One name, okay.
I did not pick family names. I gave a list of the top 10 most common family names, but I did not pick any.
Characters only get surnames in this game if I really feel like it.
Yeah.
And is that she, her?
Yes.
I think, oh, and of course, Vellum will gesture down to Destiny and say this is Destiny.
Well, aren't you just a cutie? May I pet her?
Of course.
Meihui goes to pet Destiny. Let me flip another 5 cards. That's 1 success, 1 joker.
Oh.
I think Destiny's like, not really interested.
Maybe she's sleepy.
Yeah, but for the Joker, Xiao Pingguo will get jealous of his mom giving affection to someone else.
Yeah.
And like cut between them and like rub himself against Meihui.
Yes.
She will give you all keys so you can lock your room if you wish. She gives Vellum the key to Merafina's room in case like he wants to give it to her at some point.
Okay.
Yeah, says they're all unlocked, tells you your room numbers, and says that you may lock them once you are in.
Before they go upstairs, Spar will ask, sort of to Meihui and sort of to Vellum both, are there any rules or customs of this place that we should know about? As I've never been before and I don't wish to offend.
I would rather Ela answer.
If you're planning on going to the communal baths, I can tell you how that usually goes. But otherwise, the facilities here are fairly standard to how you would expect to act in a tavern or inn elsewhere.
Okie doke. Thank you.
Then Sorrel heads up to her room. Josepha says she wants to walk around for a little bit. Ishbala heads up to their room, and yeah.
Before Ishbala goes up, Spar sort of catches her eye and is like, does your car need to be stabled or...
That's such a good question. Yeah, so, okay, that's what we'll leave. Ishbala's talking to Meihui about that as you guys head upstairs. Mm-hmm. the room you two are in does have two beds, but, you know, I assume they will not both be getting use. And the walls are, a beige color, but the rug has, a very, ornate, multicolored, welcome mat. And on the wall, there's, a nice, landscape painting that depicts the mountain range that we're all on, which probably has a name, but I don't know it right now. And, yeah, there's a bathroom, and there is a little bookshelf. There's, a note saying that it's, a curated selection of some of the hotel staff, and that these books are, because they all have themes, each room has a theme. I'm saying these books are books for travelers.
When they get up to the room, Spar wants to do his sweep of it to see if there are, if there's anything hidden in it, and or if there are unforeseen weaknesses that are not obvious that he should know about.
Sure. Give me a wit investigation.
Okay. Wit is 4. Investigation is 4. I'm healthy is 5. I don't think this room has a name, so we're going to stay with 4 and 4, 8 and 1, 9.
How'd you do, Essay?
Pretty good. 1, 2 successes and a crit for a total of 5.
Okay, that's quite good.
Wow.
So, I mean, this certainly isn't a
stronghold
establishment built with, it's not built with, defensive fortifications in mind by any means. So, there's 2 windows in this room, one of which is open to, a nearby garden. It's, it looks like some kind of community garden, more of a park, actually, that's, built in, in the underground part of the cavernous part of Yue Liang. The other window, out of it, you can see the adjacent building, which is that dining hall I mentioned, and someone on the roof of that building could very easily see into your room.
Mm-hmm.
Also, I mean, the outside of this building is made of wood. If someone had any kind of gear, they could climb it. So, not like a super, defended place.
Yeah, sure. He's doing the equivalent of, today he would be looking for bugs and then, looking to see if the mirrors are one-way glass.
Right.
So,
in terms of that stuff, there's no obvious, surveillance methods in the room, no.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, so it's less like, is this place well-defended, and more like, what do I need to be aware of?
Mm-hmm.
Is there a wardrobe or something that he can put in front of the window that faces the dining hall?
Yeah, sure. There's a wardrobe that's full of, bathrobes.
Mm-hmm. I think, yeah, he'll go ahead and move that, and then that way there's only one window and one door to keep track of.
Solid plan.
Sounds good.
Does Spar do it himself? Does he ask Velum for help?
I think Spar will do it himself.
Okay. I think Velum, once he's started to move it, will kind of flutter around wanting to help, but sees that Spar has it and is just getting in the way.
Mm-hmm. Spar lets him. You know, he's not snappish. As he's poking behind the curtains and opening all the drawers and everything.
Mm-hmm.
He'll ask, how are you doing? How do you feel?
So far so good. I wasn't expecting Mei Hui to quite come out with the mom energy tonight, but here we are.
Well, turnabout's fair play, I guess.
I suppose that's true.
Do you come back here often?
I usually come back at least once a year, more often if I can. But I usually come back at least for the Qingming Festival once a year to visit and take care of my parents' graves. But sometimes when I've got a few days off. The hot springs are very nice to relax, as I'm sure you'll find out. I demand that we all take a dip before we move on to Stoneloft.
Hey, Agent Vellum, if you're trying to get me out of my clothes, you can just ask.
Agent Felspar, would you allow me to?
Spar?
Yeah.
With your five on investigation, you hear that there is someone outside your door.
Do I hear anything magic?
No.
Okay. Do I have a sense of who's outside the door?
No.
Okay.
You heard, like, maybe they're trying to leave now. Like, they were standing there, now they're leaving.
Spar opens the door.
Uh-huh.
It's Sorrel.
Uh-huh. I was gonna guess it was either Sorrel or Ishbala.
So she's, like, fluttering away.
Sorrel, did you need something?
She looks flustered. She's like, it can wait until morning.
Are you sure?
I don't want to be a party killer. It can wait till morning.
Okay.
Vellum peeks his head out. If you're sure.
You're making it more weird. Go away. And she just flies off.
Vellum was going to be like, but you're already here.
She's gone.
Well, that's not worrying or ominous at all, as far as closing the door again. Are we in for the night?
That was my plan. What do you think?
I'm following your lead.
You know, that might get you into trouble someday.
It's gotten me into nothing but trouble. Spar will wedge a chair, like, against the door.
Okay. Vellum will go up to Spar and put his hands on Spar's shoulders and lean in and kiss him on the cheek.
Spar will turn to kiss him on the mouth.
Vellum kisses back.
Afternoon, morning, or evening, everybody. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. My name is Jordan Quiverns. My pronouns are they, them. I'm the GM and host and wingman for this podcast. I would like to share with you a fun fact about the world if you're interested. And if you're not interested, well, I'm sorry. I'm going to share one anyway. Today's fact is about what Ishbala got up to after Spar and Vellum went to bed, which is, she went over to Tomorrow's Problem, her car, and found that the car, which is sentient, is actually afraid of the mountain roads and does not want to go on them.
Oh.
And Mei Hui informs Ishbala this is actually a fairly common problem. Some animals don't like the sort of narrow walkways of Yue Liang, and so they actually have a stable not far outside of town. And Ishbala, not knowing how to deal with having a sentient car, does just leave the car under a stable like it is a horse. And actually hangs out with the car for a little while because she feels like she should spend some quality time with it. So she actually initially falls asleep in the car and then tells Tomorrow's Problem goodnight when she wakes up and goes to her room with Rosefa.
Good.
That's more of a mini scene than a fact, but I can do whatever I want.
It's true, you can. We can't stop you.
I'm so far from you. How would you even do it?
I can't. Just can't. You're outside my jurisdiction. All right. Hi, my name is Essay. I use she, her pronouns. I play Merim Felspar, who uses he, him pronouns. I'm trying to decide which agent fact I want to go with. I think I'll, yeah, okay. Spar is pretty at home in hotels, and inns and other types of lodging, like not necessarily because he travels all the time so much as he just like tends to keep pretty minimal spaces. So like when it gets down to it, you know, if you like took some pictures off of the tables, his apartment could probably pass for a hotel room. So he's one of those people who's just like, oh yes, okay, this is my surroundings, this is acceptable to me. Yeah, you can find me online right now as of recording. I'm on Tumblr at Citrus and Salt, which is linked below. You can find the show also on Tumblr at Three Hearts Cast. On all the social medias we're on Three Hearts Cast, including Patreon, where you can learn more about what Anya and Josepha get up to.
That's true. There's also the novella Tempest in the Teapot, also features two surprise suits agents. So if you like the show and the other characters in the show, you will see more familiar faces than just Anya and Josepha.
Hey, this is Ela Alexi. You can find me online at Ela Alexi. I play Agent Cowlin Vellum. He and I both use they and he pronouns. For this week's Agent Vellum fact, this is one that includes a character that we've not met yet, but we'll probably meet after the break. If not, maybe we'll meet them next week. Vellum's parents were bookbinders, and so growing up, he hadn't learned that trade yet before they passed away, but he did reconnect with a person in Yueliang named Qing Zhao, who had learned bookbinding from Vellum's parents. And so a few years ago when they reconnected, Qing Zhao taught Vellum how to bookbind, and it made Vellum feel a little bit connected to his parents again.
Aww. Related to that, like, bookbinders are, like, an important, like, person in Yueliang. They're important people, and there's a term for them, which is tome tenders. So, throwing that out there.
Good to know.
Mm-hmm. They're also, like, combination, like, bookbinder, like, librarian, basically. And with that, I think we are ready to return to the episode.
Doodly-doo.
So can you flip me a wit investigation, like, minus two?
Oh, fun.
Sure. So that's wits four, investigation is four, healthy makes nine, minus two makes seven.
Okay.
Wit is three, investigation is two, plus one for healthy, plus one for eclectic, minus two for being asleep.
I have two successes.
I have one success.
Okay. You both awake to
Destiny's paw right on Vellum's cheek.
Destiny's paw right on both of your faces as Destiny scurries away from the sound of glass shattering.
Oh no.
As the unprotected window gets a grappling hook through it.
I think Vellum bolts upright like, really?
Spar rolls out of bed unsheathing his sword and is going to try to cut the rope for the grappling hook.
Oh, smart.
Good idea.
What's an initiative? What's Spar's initiative?
Five.
Okay. And Vellum's is four?
Yep.
I say we're going to flip off.
I have a jack.
Okay. I got a three. And you guys are lucky because it is Three of Hearts, which is the name of the podcast, but I don't think a crit counts here. So the Spar goes first.
Okay. I've described what Spar wants to do.
Yes. Go ahead and give me... This barely seems flip-worthy. Like, you feel like you could just do that. Mm-hmm. I guess the contested aspect is, can this person climb it before you can do it? So go ahead and give me agility melee. Sure. Yeah, I have to think agility melee.
Agility is 3. Melee is 3, so that's 6. Healthy is 7.
Nice.
Is it Nat?
No.
Is it somebody I know?
Not by name.
Okay. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. That's 1 success. And I'm going to burn some drive.
Okay.
1 drive. 2 drive. 3. 3 drive, no further successes.
Okay. So, what is that 1 success you said?
1, yeah.
Okay, let me flip for them. They got 1 success, 1 joker.
Nice.
So that definitely means you're going to come out of this on top. Let me think of what this means exactly. You cut the rope. Okay, because you tied, I think that...
Did they get, like, their hand on the window ledge and then lose yes. their grip and fall?
No, I don't think it's quite that dramatic, because they did tie. I think what's going to happen is...
They only got 1 hand.
Yes, that's good. So they have 1 hand on the building and are on the windowsill, and they are dangling. Spar, you see this person. They are not wearing... They're not identifiable because they are wearing a familiar ghillie suit.
I almost said, okay, it's not Cletus because we know Cletus's name.
It's Cletus's friend.
Yep. God damn it. Okay, is it Vellum's turn?
Spar sort of confusedly goes, but this is the mountains.
Yeah, it's not an effective place for a ghillie suit for sure. It's more about identity concealment and less about blending into the environment.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. No, because that wasn't their turn. Their that was just them trying to climb a rope, which was kind of like their stealth action. So they're going to try to pull themselves up to the window, which is going to be an athletics thingy for them. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Would it be okay. contested because Spar is
yes.
in the window?
Yes.
I hope they make it through the window so that Vellum can kick them out.
Well, that might be what Spar's doing. Okay, brawn athletics, Spar.
Okay, athletics or melee?
However you feel like you're doing this.
This feels pretty melee.
Okay.
Brawn is 3.
They got 2 successes.
Okay. Brawn is 3. Melee is 3. I still don't know their name, but I'm healthy. That's 7. And I have not flipped any jokers in my deck yet. 1, 2, 3, 5, 6, 7. Woo! 3 successes. Still no jokers. And I'm now holding less than half my deck. So hold on to that anti-joker.
Good, but ominous. All right. So, yeah. Ghillie suit pulls themselves through the window or tries to. And what do you do, Spar? Like, okay, they're really athletic about it. They, like, get their other hand on the window and, like, pull themselves up almost to, like, try to leap into the room. And Spar does what?
And Spar rams them, right? Like a football tackle.
Just ejects them from the window?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. All right. I think they're then going to take that 1 success extra that you got as damage.
Mm-hmm.
As they fall on their ass on the first floor. And unless Vellum wants to stop them on his turn, they just run.
Yeah, Vellum is gonna run over to the window with the net launcher and try to catch him so we can at least find out this person's name.
All right, give me a agility firearms to net launch.
All right. So agility will be body and mind. So that's two. Agility is one. Firearms is two. One for healthy and one for eclectic. Let's see if we got anything good. Okay, we got Ace, Jack, and King of Diamonds. Do I get anything extra for being the same suit?
No, but that's cool.
Uh-huh. So three successes.
Alrighty. In certain non-Space Kings game, that sounds like it'd be a good thing. Three successes is really good. I guess. No, I think they don't think this is contested. I think three successes, just do it. Because they're not trying to dodge here. They're trying to book it. So, yeah. You successfully hit them with the net and trap them like 10 feet away from the hotel.
Excellent. Is this within the triple threat's short-range teleportation?
Ooh, yeah, absolutely. Absolutely, yeah. That's like anything you can see, you can teleport to, pretty much.
All right, Vellum would like to go down there, grab the person in the ghillie suit and net, go back up to...
Oh, you're gonna... wait, no, I have to ask you a really real question.
Yes.
Was Vellum wearing the triple threat to bed? Because that is a pair of gloves and shoes.
Probably not.
Okay. You can don the triple threat real quick, but they're going to get a chance to escape the net if you do that.
Okay. Because, unless Vellum was trying to put them on while Spar and Ghillie Suit were fighting at the window, but I don't know if there's enough time for that.
Well, I was going to say, unless there are more baddies, Spar goes next, so he can, like, hold down the net gun for it.
Yeah, but the ghillie suit goes next, so they get their turn to try to cut out. Oh, wait, no, Spar's first. Okay, I see what you're saying. Mm-hmm. Okay.
I think Vellum will put on the triple threat.
Okay.
In preparation of if the ghillie suit person gets free and tries to run.
Okay.
Meanwhile, Felspar is keeping an eye on him heading down there.
Yeah, Spar's going to open the window, drop down, and grapple, basically, ghillie suit.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah, you do that.
Important note, based on that fade to black, Spar's not wearing any clothes. He is holding his sword.
I thought you might be naked.
Uh-huh. Yeah, yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Uh-huh.
Fascinating. All right.
Vellum's probably not much better off. Maybe some boxers.
Uh-huh, uh-huh.
It's a good way to make a first impression on your boyfriend's extended family.
You know?
To just dick fully out, leap through a window.
Man, that's kind of a good episode title. I don't know how I feel about it, though. Dick in the title, but I kind of love it. All right. Spar, can you flip agility athletics to jump out this window?
Mm-hmm. Agility is three, and athletics is two, so that's five. Healthy makes six. Two, three, four, five, six. I'm very scared. Okay, because that was one, two successes plus a crit. So five successes total. Still no jokers.
Dang.
Fascinating. I mean, five successes.
I did like turn my deck over and I saw that they are both in there. So they didn't fall out of the deck.
For five successes, you can successfully jump down there and grapple this person. And naked is the day you were born.
Mm-hmm.
Good.
They're going to try to scream out of your grip, but they're going to have to beat five successes, I think. So... very unlikely.
Mm-hmm. One, and would two. They take any minuses for being inside a net?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, they got one success, so they flail uselessly. I think this combat's effectively over.
Okay. Vellum, with the triple threat on, teleports down there, tosses a robe over Spar's shoulders, And then can he teleport all three of them back?
No. It's just it's just yourself and one other person, okay. Max.
I think he'll look to Spar and say, should we interrogate them back upstairs?
Yeah, I think a closed room is probably better.
Velum nods. Do you want to carry them, or do you want me to... Any gestures to the triple threat?
I don't want you to be alone with them, but if you would just, you know, give me 1 second. And he sort of maneuvers ghillie suit person, uh-huh. to sort of, like, be kneeling and... And kind of pins him while he wriggles into the robe. Mm. Does the inn have a storeroom of some kind? Something with fewer windows and doors?
I'm sure they do.
Definitely.
I've personally not been inside of it, but I'm sure that they do. The queer creeper definitely has.
Yeah. Velum, you would know there's like a changing room area by the spa that would fit that description. There's also, like, an actual, probably, like, a janitor's closet.
I would say probably go to the janitor's closet for more privacy and also fewer doors.
Sure, yeah. Spar will carry the captive.
The way that I imagine it works would be for you to go to, like, the changing area that would have a door into it and then a door out of it into... like the shower area before you get to the hot spring.
Multiple doors. You're right. So I flipped to see if people woke up and saw this ruckus happening. And I got 4 successes and then a 3 of hearts, which is a total of, which is the name of the podcast, which is 6 successes. So I think that Ishbala, Marafina, and like 6 random townsfolk did see this naked spar fight happen.
It at least was a short fight, so maybe...
Yeah, for sure.
Maybe it was mostly, you know...
If anything, they saw his butt. I don't think they got any... No one got an eyeful of Spardick.
Except probably Ghillie suit person.
They definitely
that's,
did.
That's his own... Their own fault.
That's what happens when you break into a man's room while he's sleeping.
Yeah.
Yeah, sometimes they're naked.
And, you know, it's nothing Ishbala hasn't seen happen before, so...
Yeah, for sure. And Marafina, frankly, would not care. whether Spar cares is another story. But anyway, also want to say, SA, had you not blocked off that window, they were going to shoot a magic grenade that was going to reverse gravity in the room and not, like, blew you guys to the ceiling. So, good call.
Fun. Oh,
thanks. Love to play a rogue.
Yeah.
You know, I was really thinking that this was finally going to be the time the boys got to rest.
Yeah, it still might be. So, you just take them through a closet.
Yep, we commandeer the closet.
Yep. All right. Mayhoi sees you come through.
Also in a robe.
Yeah, she knows that you two are suits agents and is just like, okay, I don't love this, but, you know, clearly they have it handled.
Mayhoi, this, I'll fill you in on the details afterwards. This may be a bit complicated, but I will handle the mess. Do not worry about it.
Would any news of suits being disbanded have reached Yue Liang yet?
Almost certainly not. I don't think so.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't think news travels that fast outside of, like, the Silvalo region. Like, I don't think anyone would know about that. Okay. We get to a closet. Let me flip something. Okay. As you guys are hood, like, you guys just open the closet and you hear screaming coming from the hot springs area.
Velum rubs his temples.
Is there, like, a bookcase or something we can use to lock the ghillie suit person in the closet?
Oh, smart. Yes, absolutely. If you want to do that in a hurry, it's going to be brawn athletics.
Okay, yeah, because I think this is Spar, like, shoves them in and closes the door and starts dragging.
every community space in Yue Liang absolutely has a bookcase in it. It's just a rule.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have, like, a quarter of my deck left and two jokers in it, so hold tight.
If I can assist, let me know, because I got plenty of my deck to flip.
Mm-hmm.
Like, maybe Vellum can run to Meihui and get her to watch the closet as well.
Oh. I mean, that's not really assisting in the bookcase moving, unless you don't want to do the bookcase and just want to do that.
I mean, yeah, Vellum will help with the physically moving the bookcase, too. Like, I'm sure bookcases aren't usually the easiest thing to move, especially if they still have books.
They're full of books, yeah. Okay. Yeah.
That's, in fact, what we're counting on.
Okay.
Yeah. So, Spar, take one automatic success for Vellum Hilton.
Okay. That was Brawn Athletics, did you say?
Correct.
Okay. Brawn is 3, Athletics is 2, that's 5, Healthy is 6. Okay. One success, one joker, plus the auto success makes it 2 successes, 1 joker.
Okay. For the Joker, I think you guys like kind of lose balance for a second and the book doesn't fall, but like a shit ton of books do fall off the bookcase, making it lighter and therefore slightly less effective for the purposes that Spar wants it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I think Spar probably starts to head off towards the screaming.
What depends? What's Ishbala doing?
Yeah, I think it's safe to say Ishbala runs towards the screaming too. Maybe she's already gone her way.
Then I think Spar will stop to kneel and just like shove the books back on the case.
Okay. Does Vellum help with that?
I think while Spar is doing that, Vellum will go over to Meihui and then tell her, this may not be suits related, this person here. They are someone that attacked me and was trying to get some of my blood. If you can keep an eye on them, I would find it a personal favor, considering this is now the second time that they've come after me. And I'm kind of hoping with her previous established mom energy that she'll keep a close eye on them.
Yes, of course. Both mom energy and wanting to protect her in energy.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Okay, so a little bit delayed, you guys make your way to the hot springs.
Mm-hmm.
All right. You get there and see people, like a bunch of people, like run past you on your way in, like because they're leaving the hot springs, and you see Ishbala in some like knee deep water, wrestling very uncomfortably, I should say, wrestling a large crocodile named Cletus.
Spar turns to look at Vellum accusatorily. He points at the crocodile and says, you said there were no crocodiles.
I said there were no swamps.
Is there anything that we can do from shore to help?
But also, I'm fairly certain that this does not... I don't know why they're here.
Hold on. Let me flip to see if each ball has got it. 1, 2, 3, 4. Okay, they both flip 2 successes. So yeah, they're like evenly matched, like thrashing about in the water.
Mm-hmm.
So in terms of what you can do from shore, I mean, that's up to you. Like, what do you want to do to help Ishbala? They're like taking turns being like shoved underwater and surfacing and like shoving the other underwater, basically.
This is probably not comfortable for a crocodile.
No, she hates it.
Considering
everybody hates it.
Hot spring temperature difference.
Yeah, nobody likes what's happening right now.
Hey, Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
This might be asking too much. Can I switch the dial to telekinesis and try to telekinesis Cletus and or Ishbala out of the water?
I'm going to say a tried and true GM phrase. You can try anything.
Okay.
Just tell me what you want to do and flip. Well, tell me what you want to do.
I think I want to try to telekinesis Cletus, ideally, but both of them, okay. If I can't get a solid beat on Cletus.
Well, okay, both of them is way harder than just Cletus.
Okay.
You gotta pick a target here.
I pick Cletus.
Okay.
I think what Ela's getting at is, like, if this were, like, a gun and he didn't, Vellum didn't have line of sight, then he's willing to, like, hoist both of them, but given...
Got it.
Given preference.
Give me brawn... No. Give me intelligence... Gadgetry, I think. No, give me wit gadgetry, because this is on the fly.
Okay. So that is body and mind again, so there's two for that. Wit is 3. Gadgetry is 4. 1 for healthy, 1 for eclectic for gadgetry. So many cards. Okay. What did we get? It looks like... Bad news is I got a joker.
Okay.
Good news is I got a king of hearts, a jack, an ace, and a queen of hearts.
Wow. So what's that come out to you?
So that is 6 successes and a joker.
So that's incredibly good. Do you want to ante this joker?
What do you think, SA?
6 successes is an awful lot. So I feel like it can't go that badly, but also we're probably nearing the end of the recording.
Because joker doesn't always mean bad, but it does mean different than you expected. So if you want exactly what you wanted to happen, get rid of the joker.
I definitely don't want to accidentally have grabbed Ishbala instead. I don't know if that would be... Since I did get 6 successes, I don't think that would be what happened, but...
To hell with it. Yeah, let's... If you want to, I think, then, yeah, let's do it.
Let's ante it just in case, because I don't know. It'd be nice if there were fewer complications with getting this crocodile outside of the hot spring.
Yeah, that means if I flip, I'm almost certain to get a joker.
Okay.
But I might not have to flip if you... Like, 6 successes with no joker is like a smash success.
I don't know. I could be persuaded if you want to hold on to it.
No, go for it. Let's do it.
Okay.
All right. So you ante the joker, which means you effortlessly yank Cletus out of the water. And I mean, if you could think of some way to like put him in timeout, like that's fine.
Do I still have the net launcher with me?
Yeah, it seems logical to me.
It would probably be...
Oh, wait, did you guys D-net other person?
Gillysoon?
I don't think so.
We didn't say we did.
Well, yeah, and I don't, like, Spar would not have wanted to, because he wants to keep him...
Contained?
Tangled. I'm Googling how to incapacitate crocodile. So there's probably something you could use to, like, tie its mouth shut.
Do we boot the snoot?
I don't think that does anything to crocodiles.
But yeah, okay, so we telekinesis Cletus out of the hot spring, and...
And Valium is an effective agent for calming very large crocodiles.
You could drug the crocodile. If you give this crocodile cherry coke, it will fall asleep.
Do we have the health kit on us?
It's probably upstairs now that I think about it. Upstairs. But if you really want to, for 6 successes, I mean, you could hold it long enough for Spar to run upstairs and get it.
Yeah, either for Spar to run up and get it or for Spar to grab something to tie it up, maybe.
Yeah, I'm wondering if it's like tie its mouth shut and then stick it up in a tree.
Incredible. There's a park next door.
Like, tie it to the tree?
I was mostly thinking just, like, stick it high up in the branch. Just, like, wedge it up in the branches.
And tell Ishbala to stand at the bottom of the tree and make sure it doesn't leave.
Or get Ishbala to help incapacitate it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
In a way that's not lethal.
Yeah.
Yeah, Ishbala won't hurt a crocodile anyway, if she doesn't have to. Okay. Can we Can we say that we like use, I don't think they just like have a rope on hand, but you got tie up some bed sheets into a makeshift rope and tie up this crocodile.
We probably have like the little robes ties.
Bold of you to say that they don't have rope to hand.
Yeah, you know.
I meant the establishment, not you guys. What, do you guys just bring travel rope? In case you need to do some emergency shibari?
Well, I do. But
yeah, also, I'm not asking about essay.
Also, I think that would be like a very normal part of the miscellaneous agent kit, right? Especially
That's very fair. Okay, you guys head up this crocodile. And get reprimanded by God for misuse of Sooth's property. Not for the crocodile thing, for the shibari.
Well, you use a different kind of rope for the shibari. You don't want that rough rope.
No.
To be, yeah.
Look, you don't want it, but when you're on the road, you do what you gotta do.
No, when you're on the road, you bring your separate silk shibari rope.
Okay.
But also speak for yourselves.
Okay. Crocodile is in tree.
Do we still want the crocodile in the tree if we've got them tied up?
Yes.
Okay.
As you guys get back to the inn. Oh, wait, no. This would have happened earlier. I'm sorry. I'm gonna rewind. Crocodile, this is like as you're tying up crocodile. Each ball is supervising from the water. And someone bursts out of the changing room, dressed fully in knight armor, and says, "I've got you, Cletus," not realizing the fact that Cletus is not in the water anymore. And it's Sir Timby.
Why the fuck is he here?
He bursts out, plunges his fist in the water, and activates his electricity gauntlets that he has. And then he jokered, so he falls forward into the water, electrocuting both himself and Ishbala.
Why?
Because he jokered? Or why is he here? That's a whole other question.
I mean, why is he here, but also did Ishbala joker?
No. I think she's just still in the water.
Is she okay?
She took some damage, but she's fine. Timby is unconscious.
Well, at least there's that.
I think my version of that was of the why is Timby? Not why is he here? Just what? Bruv.
You know, he flipped a joker and he's a disaster.
What is his history with Cletus now? Oh, there's so many questions.
There's questions that you currently cannot ask him because did just electrocute himself.
Vellum heads to Meihui and is just like, I'm beginning to regret coming here. I think
Hold on. Vellum, back up. Because that doesn't happen. Because as you guys head back into the inn proper, dragging with you a crocodile that is tied up.
I put the crocodile in the tree.
Oh, that's true. As you go to do that, Meihui steps outside and says, "Kel and Vellum, get here this instant."
Yes, ma'am.
And standing next to Meihui is the ghillie-suited person who is currently unmasked, revealing a red-headed elven individual who has a little bit of stubble but otherwise looks like feminine. Meihui says, "Kalen, what have you done to get on the bad side of Magnolia? They're an honored guest here." And Magnolia says, "Oh, I'll tell you what he's done. Vellum and Agent Felspar are fugitives of the law, and I'm here to bring them in." And Meihui just looks kind of like shocked back and forth between both parties, and I think that's where we'll end this episode.
Three of Hearts is S.A. Monik Tola as Agent Felspar and our primary editor, Ila Alexi as Agent Vellum and our artist, and Jordan Quiverns as our host. We play a game called Space Kings, created by Kevin Cole and Super Tri Studios. You can purchase the game at spacekings.space. Our intro music is Dogtective, our mid-tro theme is At Last, a Piano, and our outro is Ghost plus Guest. All of these tracks are by Louis Zong, and they can be found at louiszong.bandcamp.com. We also have a Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/threeheartscast, all spelled out, that is T-H-R-E-E, heartscast. Support us for any price you can afford and receive access to all perks, including gag reels and to the opportunity to have an NPC named after you, as well as bonus episodes and written stories set in the world of our podcast. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be back in 2 weeks.
Does Vellum know Magnolia?
Vellum does not know who Magnolia is.
Okay.
I will say, actually, as we end this episode, that Magnolia is named after a listener who I believe actually goes by Renee. But thank you, Renee, for Magnolia, retroactively named the ghillie suit person that.
So they're actually not Cyprus.
Their full name is Magnolia Cyprus. This might be after the credits. I don't know. I'll find out when I edit the episode, or when I do my part of editing the episode.
Anything could happen.
Anything
Maybe it'll
could
be in
happen.
The beginning.
Yeah.
Anything can and will happen, apparently.
Yeah, this one got pretty silly. I just wanted Timby to take care of himself because we're getting late. But luckily, he was the Joker, so it was really easy.
Good work, Timby.
For all I knew, Timby could have taken care of himself next episode. We hadn't seen him yet.
I had an idea a while ago. One, Crocodile will be in Hot Spring. I thought that was just a funny idea. And two, I wanted you guys to have, like, a Team Rocket. Like, a group of mostly incompetent pursuers that have an animal companion. And so that has become Timby, Magnolia, and Cletus.
All right.
So we're back at that agent fact about Spar where he's like, he has rivals. He doesn't know who they are.
Exactly. Uh-huh. Exactly. Yeah, we'll see more of Yue Liang next time. This ended up being a little rowdier and sillier than I anticipated. But that's Three of Hearts in a nutshell.
I really thought we were going to have a peaceful night and then the next day we would meet Ching Zhao, or else I wouldn't have done my agent fact about them. But
hey, for the record, I also thought that. And then I flipped some things and they said another story.
Well,
that's TTRPGs for you.